What country did this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb Zlotik je.
Hello and welcome to Put an H,
a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the heck? Ah, yeah.
I was like, oh, I've lost them. Very well, Terry, very well. And you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it, pal.
Now, Andy, before we get started, I would like to make an apology to you and to all the listeners, all of our Players Club, and anybody who watched on YouTube. I made a blunder when we were talking about our top five needle drops. And I referred to Cream's classic, Sunshine of Your Love. I referred to it as Deep Purple's Smoke on the Water numerous times.
Four times,
yeah,
by my count.
Yeah, amateur error here.
Brilliant.
I've decided to give you a little gift.
Oh. What has happened?
You're welcome. I'm getting into xylophones lately. How about that?
I can see that. That's excellent.
So that, you know, might be a thing.
All right.
Let's
incorporate this into the podcast.
Yeah.
Needs more xylophone.
Yeah. Well,
let me tell you, Terry, my time in the Artane Boys Band on drums. So good was I that they stuck me on the xylophone.
How was that?
It was great.
Yeah.
But I mean, there was no break. Like it was 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. every weekday. So after school, you're going there every day. You're expected to do stuff at the weekend. Like Jesus,
friend of the podcast, Brian Arnold was in the Artane Boys Band as well. He played a mean euphonium, if my memory serves.
What is a euphonium?
It's a smaller tuba, my friend. So it's not as big as a tuba.
But man, oh man.
Yeah, pretty much like.
He probably saw the same thing. They came to our school and gave like a performance and
gave a
like
spiel.
A register. Yeah.
I think
hook, line, and sinker.
Said, now I might be like completely misquoting him here, but the reason he opted for the euphonium was that nobody else was playing it.
Yeah,
so it'd be like, it would be easy enough to get to like first band or whatever. It's kind of like a cult where they had like levels and stuff. Like,
it's really weird. I remember. I mean,
you could say that about
sick.
Any organized sport or anything. Like, you know.
I remember there was one day I was sick, and my mom called in for me or something like that, and
tell him not to bother coming back.
That was a different time. That was a boss. Well, it was the father of the boss of when we worked in the shop. I mean,
I was
never out. Yeah, I was never out as well, and I was sick. And my mom, for some reason, again, my mom called for me. I think I was far older.
Yeah, you were like 20 at this stage.
Yeah, I don't really know why she called, but yeah. And the elf was like, "Tell him not to bother coming back."
The old.
I just remember my mom on the other end.
May he rest in peace.
Is that a joke? Yeah. So anyway, listen, Terry, before you go flapping your gaps there, we got an email about 4 weeks ago that I keep forgetting to address.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
It's from our old pal Mark.
Oh,
and he says, "Hello, friend." The subject line is PS5 pickle.
Ooh.
And it's, "Hello, friends. I was listening to your PS5 woes, and it brought a tear to my eye socket. After trying and failing to get one for months, I managed to nab one this week. I followed PS5 Ireland Stock Alert on Twitter and managed to get a tip off that GameStop was about to be in stock. They gave me the exact time to go online and I managed to nab one. Would highly recommend following." Which I think I did just start following this week, actually.
Nice. I mean, you're going to be doing the heavy lifting on our
I'm
end.
Getting those, I'm getting those.
First of all, you have the cash and also, you know.
Right, the cash. As for reasons for the stock shortage, due to the sudden increase in global demand for laptops at the start of the pandemic, Sony ended up taking hardware parts that were meant for PS5 and used them to make more laptops. Therefore, they weren't able to produce as many PS5s as originally planned. I think the demand was higher than they originally thought, and that whole Suez Canal debate didn't help either. I think distribution is starting to improve, so hopefully you're not waiting too much longer. Hungrily yours, Mark.
Well, thank you, Mark. I'm looking forward to getting a PS5, honestly. I don't know. I am
because I want to get one.
One of the main things, it's a 4K Blu-ray player.
Oh.
So that's,
talking your language.
Yeah, it's more Ks than you get on your regular Blu-ray. And you can buy these 4K ultra high def. It's like you're there.
I don't know if I'm into that. I feel like that's too high def.
What is your TV 4K? Talking 4K, like, it's moved on. It's 8K already. Like, you know,
I don't think I've got 4K, to be honest, because I get that when there's a gradient, you get that sort of pixely look.
Oh, yeah. I can't live with that, honestly. Now, I sent you a GIF earlier on of Al Pacino tapping his watch, and I was like, I don't like how that looks because it was too blurry. Like, I can't.
You like a sharp image?
Oh yeah, hell yeah.
Well, it's interesting, actually, because the Patreon movie that we're going to talk about this week
I have it in my notes, my friend.
How have you been, more
importantly?
I've been good.
We had a barbecue at the weekend, so we saw some friends on Saturday. Very nice. But it was the first time I think there'd been like 15 of us together. In somebody's back garden. We all have kids now. Majority of us have kids. A few lads that don't. So it was a bit lively. And one of the children fell off a chair and bumped his head. That was fun.
Oh, boy.
That was a plaster situation on the forehead. And then Bonnie fell down the steps and busted her lip.
Oh.
So that was another... Like, basically, it was just like... It was just, it was great for a period, but I think by the end, it was like...
Kids were getting tired and
was no getting Bonnie back to normal. That happened at about 4, I'd say, and like we left about 5:30, but for that hour and a half, she wasn't... she was like in a paddling pool, and that was nice, but like she was very clingy and very like, I'm tired, I don't want to be here.
They kind of get to a stage where they're so tired that they get like that clingy and all that, but then I find they get like it's like they're drunk or something,
incomprehensible, blah 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 blah.
Yeah, but like Johnny would always be like just trip but get mad clumsy when she was tired, like bumping into everything, tripping up, falling over, like kids. That sounds nice.
Yeah, it was nice. It was good to see everybody.
Good.
And we're now the pubs are back opening. In beer gardens, if the weather is good, I'm sure we'll be meeting up more frequently.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Nature is healing, as
it is. Now, I've been watching a shitload of stuff.
Oh, boy.
Some good, some bad.
Go on.
I want to start with, because I text you about, I watched Bo Burnham's latest special. Now,
yes,
I'm not going to talk about it because we're going to do an episode on it on the Patreon, I think.
Okay.
But I just think everybody should watch this. This is a thing.
I did watch the first like 10 minutes, and it feels like something I should continue watching, even though it seems very heavily musical comedy.
It is. But I didn't realize that before I started watching, because he wrote and directed a film that I watched. I thought it was great. I loved it. Eighth Grade. I think it's on Netflix at the moment. It's really, really good. And he was in a film, Promising Young Woman, last year. And he was very good in it. So I watched this and I just think everybody should watch it. In terms of the past year. It mightn't be for everybody. Like, you might have. But how would you say? An artifact of... quarantine or lockdown or whatever, like,
yeah,
it is something that like
sums up how we're all feeling,
maybe not everybody, but there was stuff in it that I was like, it kind of just broke my brain a little bit. And I was like,
I've seen that since you've said that. I've seen other people say that.
Yeah.
So, but
I watched his special that he did 5 years before that.
Yes.
Called Make Happy. And that's like him in front of an audience.
I think I might have saw a bit of that.
It was good. I liked it. Like he,
I probably turned it off when he got the guitar out.
He's more of a, mostly piano, I think, is his thing. But when he thinks you're going one way, like it's like, oh, I know what the setup is here.
Yeah.
You know, and then he just like flips the script. He's very clever. Yeah. He's a very clever and creative guy. And he's only fucking 30. Like he's like what? Directed. Yeah, I know. Like he's directed like stand-up specials.
That makes me feel good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, lanky string of piss.
When you first were talking about him, I thought, and you were like, we should do a Patreon on him. I was thinking Jeff Dunham, the puppet guy. I was like, he's fucking lost it. I gave a fairly polite,
is that the guy with the puppets? Like,
I was so relieved.
I hate that guy. Although, when I was younger, I used to love the British guy that had the puppets.
Yeah, man.
Not
Joe Pasquale.
No. There was
It's a puppet. That guy.
No. Right. There was a stand-up that had a puppet. Like
okay.
And I loved it. It was like because when I was 7 or whatever, I didn't know what stand-up was. I just knew that this guy was funny with a puppet. So I loved that. I ate it up with a spoon. Okay. But Jeff Dunham, no. Fuck that guy. Fuck that guy. I'll stick with the good that I've been watching. I watched the first episode of Loki last night.
Oh, good.
I really liked it, yeah. I really like it's how would you
say funny or what sort of
yeah, kind of. It's odd. You know, it's
oh, excellent.
It's
I'm
like
sitting up in my chair now.
It's kind of more towards the WandaVision scale than the Falcon Winter Soldier scale.
Good.
Which is good. It's very creative in how it does things, and it's got Owen Wilson in it, who is a delight. It's just great to see him back on the screen, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
You know? So I would recommend. I'm gonna stick with it. Definitely. It's a 50 minute episode. I think it's 6 episodes and they're 50 minutes a piece. Okay.
Well, I mean, we have to watch it. It's our job.
It's our duty. But I found it was off to a good start, and I loved the production, like design, the aesthetic of it.
Yeah,
you're kind of set in this place where it's like somebody in the past imagining how the future would look, if that makes sense. Right. Like retro futuristic in terms of it's like this is how everything is going to look: boxy screens and you know green gray colors, and you know people wear these jumpsuits and stuff like that. Like
they haven't conceived of like new inventions since then. It's
exactly
just like futuristic versions of current.
It's like the 1960s. Version of the future. So very good.
Yeah, interesting. Excellent. Well, I'll definitely be checking that out. Probably this weekend.
I watched Collateral as well, which is
one of your faves.
Excellent. Still holds up. We watched that Friday night.
Tom Cruise plays a hitman.
Tom Cruise.
Back of a taxi.
Yeah. Jamie Foxx is great in it. Tom Cruise, his mannerisms, the way he holds the gun two hands. Or like it's a hand and another hand grip on it and stuff like that. Like you can see that he's done the work.
Yeah.
Or like how he shoots the gun. You know, it's like his arms out, you know, a double pop or whatever. And then like standing over him. Another
professional.
One. Yeah. Or like obviously because he's playing a hitman. But it's like,
yeah,
I reckon Tom Cruise probably could be an assassin if he wanted to be. Like,
I was thinking when you were even talking of like, you know, Harley. how he holds the gun. I would say it's a very natural, like that's probably how he like wants to be. You know
apparently,
what I mean?
Apparently, when he was doing it, when he was training for it, he would like follow crew members around and tag them with something. Like so,
tag them.
Like tag them with like an X, a sticker of an X or something.
Okay,
and be like, you would be dead. You know, that was part of his getting into character.
Excellent.
Yeah, so the guy's crazy.
Why do I give Tom Cruise? Is it just because he's so good? Like, why do I give him a pass?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it is.
Everyone else from far less things, like fucking creep. Like,
he's
no
willing to risk his life for our entertainment. That's why I give him the pass. He's willing to climb the world's tallest building or hang out the side of an airplane, or hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes. Like, what was the one he did in the latest one? He flew a helicopter. He hung out of a helicopter. You know,
he's fucking great. Yeah. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah, I mean, screw the, you know, endangered servitude that he has going on. But yeah.
His movies are good, and that's all that matters.
I'm going to finish up with two bad movies.
Please do. I know you're talking.
Both horror.
Okay.
I'm going to start with Army of the Dead.
I wanted to see it. The Batista, like, zombie horror, I guess.
It's by the guy, by Zack Snyder, who did, you know, the remake of Dawn of the Dead.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you what I want my zombie movies to not be.
Please.
2.5 fucking hours long.
That's what put me off. I was like, 2.5?
Give me a break.
For this B movie.
That's it. You could have cut out so much of it as well. Like, it's ridiculous how... And they've been it as this ultimate heist movie, and it's like...
Yeah. It's like Ocean's 11 meets fucking Dawn of the Dead.
There's barely a heist in it. Like, that's the worst thing. It's like, we're here. It's like, oh... They're at the vault already?
Oh, well, that's that.
I say at the vault already. It takes them an hour before they even get into the city. And then when they're in the city, it's like they're at the vault straight away. I'm like, oh, great.
I remember that's what put me off, though, watching it, was the when I seen Running Time 2:28 or something.
They're giving Zack Snyder the fucking Netflix treatment, as in, like, yeah, do what you want. Like, we know this is going to... Your name doing a zombie movie is going to bring eyes on the thing. Yeah. We don't care how good or how bad it is.
I'm actually delighted to hear that it's not good, and I don't have to waste an evening on it.
Like, it really is. Like,
for a zombie movie.
That's like, the thing. That's the biggest sin as well. And there's some good, weird stuff they do with the zombies and that, like, but also it gets ridiculous.
Yeah, I figured.
But, like, it's just, you could cut, it should be an hour 45 tops, and you get in and you'd be like, whoa, what a fucking lean, mean.
Yeah.
Batista, go on. Batista is, he can carry a movie, or he has the ability to, but like the script he's being given here is garbage. Like, and I looked it up, and the script for the original Dawn of the Dead was written by James Gunn, who did Guardians of the Galaxy.
And so, like, is that why that's good.
Like Zack Snyder's best film, because the script is a good script. And every other script that Zack Snyder's written, I've hated.
Right.
So, like...
So he just kind of... It was good in spite of Zack Snyder, like, the first one.
The first one is shot really well. Like, the I don't know if you remember the first one with Ving Rhames.
Yes. Yeah.
But I don't know if you remember the opening where it's like...
In the house or something?
The house, and it's like the husband and wife, and like she's a nurse, and she's just getting off shift. And you kind of see people like going into the hospital... That are a bit, you know. Yeah. And then the little kid fucking attacks the husband. And, like, then he gets infected. But, like, she's escaping and like in the car. And the husband's, like, banging on the window, chasing after her. And she's driving along. And the husband is still chasing her for ages. And then he just gets distracted by somebody else and runs up. But it's
she pulls away and he just goes off.
And you're like, but, like, it's so well... like shot, and you're like, fuck,
like, you don't know where to look.
You're like, oh my god, like,
yeah.
And like, so he can't, I'd say that was good. Just
explicitly written into the script, I'm sure.
See, I don't know, but like, he can be a good visualist, but like his writing is just,
it's riding his ass.
Like, there's a bit in it where like they kind of pull out this romantic plot line out of nowhere, and you're like, oh, okay. I don't really remember. And then they don't need this. Kind of, they introduce it, and then within 5 minutes it's like something happens, and you're like, I was like, oh, like, am I supposed to be horrified? Is this supposed to be a joke? Like, what is this? Like, it's just all over the place.
Sounds trash.
It is trash. And the second one I watched was Spiral from the Book of Saw. You're talking to a big Saw head, right?
Yeah, you're the biggest Saw head I know.
Hello, Andrew, would you like to play a game?
Uncanny.
Yeah.
Shite, was it?
What?
It was a shite anyway, was it?
Spiral's bad. It's a bad movie. Really, like...
I mean, yeah.
Because apparently Chris Rock pitched them on the idea for, like, an idea. It's set in the Saw universe. He's gonna be.
Oh, he's in it.
He's in it. He's the star of it, and he pitched them. He produced it and stuff. And like, part of it is like, you're like, is he just like? It's his character seems to be doing almost Chris Rock-esque stand up. Of just like him, like
throughout the movie.
At the start of the movie, he's like just rattling off this. You know, nobody's talking to him or anything like this. He's just like saying all this shit, like, and it's like, oh, he's doing a bit or whatever. And then, I don't know, it's really badly acted, really badly. It's not like scary. It's not exciting.
It's very hard to get a good horror these days. Like, incredibly hard. People in work today were talking about the horrors that they liked, and they're like, it was like, oh, I love all that, like. The Conjuring or Annabelle.
They're supposed to be great. I haven't watched any of them. They're supposed to be really good.
I tell you now, you've seen them. That's the problem.
Okay.
You've seen them half a dozen times. You know what I mean? Like they're all indistinguishable almost. It's the same cheap pops, cheap, like, but not really scary, gotcha. Yeah. Or, you know, it's like, it's just all, it's cheap. They're cheap horrors.
You know what the worst thing is? Like, I watched Spiral last night because it was like 96 minutes and I had a Blu-ray picked out that I was going to watch. It's a Korean horror film called I Saw the Devil. And and it's like, apparently it's like a Korean version of Seven, or, you know, it's a serial killer, gory.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, a detective haunted trying to track him down. And what happened was, Bonnie was she was up crying or whatever. Now, I didn't go up to her, but I didn't feel comfortable starting the film until she had kind of settled. And by that time, it was like 9 o'clock. Now, I was off work today, but I was like, if I stick on this now, whatever, it's after 9 o'clock, it's going to be 12 o'clock before I get to bed. It's too late for me. Too late.
Plus, yeah, so you stuck on cheaper,
and I'm like, I hate myself for watching this piece of shit now. Like,
because
you
knew it'd be bad.
Fuck this. No, but like, I was like, maybe it could be one that, you know, Listen.
I mean, I think the first one was good.
So first one was great. Now, that's a proper scary movie with a great twist.
Yeah, good premise as well.
I'd love to go through the whole series again and see where it stops. Is it like Saw 2?
We got the time.
We got nothing but time.
I've been watching some movies too, Terry, if I may. I watched, finally, it is off the premium and it's free.
Raya
and the Last Dragon.
How is it?
It's not great, to be honest. Okay.
It's a shame.
The voice of the dragon, I can't pronounce it, like Akin Fenwa, I don't know how you...
Awkwafina.
Awkwafina, yeah.
She's very good.
Yeah, that was the only voice that I recognized. I think the rest of them were like.
I think the whole thing they were saying, it's the first one that is Southeast Asian actors. So I think the girl who plays Raya is Kelly Marie Tran, who was in
Show Off.
Thank you. I know her because she was like in Star Wars.
Well, to be honest, like her and her like, you know, family in it and whoever, like, they were grand, but it's just the voice of the dragon. I didn't like the animation of the dragon and I didn't really care for the voice.
It sounds like she smokes like 100 packs a day.
Yeah, like it didn't seem like it went at all. I was very, after all the talk about dragons, and then this thing comes out and like, oh, this is what I got to look at for the rest of the movie and listen to.
What's it look like? Is it like a blue one?
Yeah.
Blue, very cartoony though, yeah?
Yeah, very cartoony. Mm. So I was a bit disappointed now. I expected better from the creators of Frozen.
Did you though?
Yes.
Frozen.
And Moana.
Yeah, Moana, sure. But Frozen is...
Frozen's watchable. Like, Frozen's like, it leaves you satisfied enough at the end.
Does it though?
From a kid's perspective, yeah. If I'm watching it through a kid's eyes, sure.
Okay.
Listen, I also watched What We Do in the Shadows.
Hey, now we're talking. Now you're speaking my language. What a fucking movie.
You know what? Like, I liked it. I watched the whole thing. I liked it. But it didn't really go anywhere. Like, no, there was no story. It was like there was no script or plot.
It's a mockumentary. Like,
but there was parts of it that were really funny.
Of the biggest laughs I've ever had, I think, watching.
Let me guess.
Okay.
Where he nicks the artery?
Yeah. 100%. Where he's the fact that he's getting so, he's just putting the doily on the neck, and then he just goes everywhere.
The funniest part was, about 10 minutes later, you just see someone opening the door, and he's in the same situation with someone else, it's gone everywhere. he's done it again.
Can you guess the second one?
I can't think of the other one.
The chips... Where he's like, because the way they had that.
Oh, yeah. And he's puking up the blood.
He's like, they turned him into worms or whatever. And he's like, eating the chips. Like, I wouldn't have done that. It's like, why not? It's like,
violent.
He's like, I wouldn't have become a vampire if I'd have known about chips. Yeah. I love chips.
I think, I don't know what put me off the first time, but I liked it. I was waiting for it to kind of start. And the last thing...
So did you know, Taika Waititi is the main guy?
Oh, is that who that is?
So he wrote and directed and starred in your favorite Marvel movie, Thor Ragnarok.
Was he in Thor Ragnarok?
He was, I'm Cork, this is Meek. Endgame, I guess, if we're going that way.
He wrote it, did you say?
He wrote the script and he directed it.
No way.
Yeah.
This guy's great.
He's doing the new Thor as well.
Oh, excellent. Well, look, that's in terms of what I've been watching,
Such a good movie, that is. So funny.
I'm glad I finally watched it. Let me tell you, though, I have to tell you about... There's an incident today in work. I was like, I've got to mention this.
Do dish.
Right.
Does anybody from your work listen to this podcast?
Some of them follow the account on Instagram. I highly, highly doubt that they're interested in that weird guy from work Simpsons podcast. But they were all saying, oh, Andy, come and have a look at this, whatever. And out the window on the other end of the office, there's a whole block of, apartments or whatever. They've all got balconies with this, glass, thing on it. But there was some woman out there completely naked.
Bollock naked.
completely bitty bollocks. Big implants and Brazilian one. And she was going mental. And she was parading up and down and shouting at the people down on the floor. And our office
honk
is literally...
Honk if you're horny,
Yeah. Our office is literally same level, just about 10 feet away. And there was paramedics or something downstairs. You once started getting an ashtray and throwing it off at people and getting stuff that she could find. She was sticking her arse up against the glass and lifting her legs up and all this. And people were trying to get her.
She was pressing the hams?
Pressing the hams. She was pressing the hams big time. And once you get over the first 10 seconds of her being naked, I was just like, what's going on here? Apparently there's a bit of a, I don't know, prostitution ring.
Hello.
Going on. It's all sorts happening over there. But I was just like, what is happening here? I still can't explain it, to be honest, but I felt it worthy enough.
Hey, that's...
At first I was like, oh, hello. But yeah.
Would have been.
So that's something you don't see every day. Last thing I'll say before we get into it, Terry, I've been back at the gym.
How's it been?
Man, oh man, it's been wonderful.
I think I'm wonderful. Look, me and Faye are talking about reactivating our Westwood.
I have to say, I didn't realize how much I missed it. Yeah, I didn't even realize it. When I first got on the treadmill, I was like, and I started and my songs were playing, I was like, oh, yes. And then lifting actual weights. And
you have classes there, no?
No, it's been done. So they've done away with the showers and they've done away with classes. And that's what put me off. That's why I didn't, I cancelled my membership. Then I realised, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, that there's showers in
the building. You mentioned
it to
me off mic, yeah.
Yeah, so then I thought, great, so I went signed back up. I thought it'd be packed though, because it'd be the first day gyms are open. There was three people there.
Nice.
So it was fucking great. And I feel, I mean, my arms are dead. I'm fixing my glasses, mad, like limp wristed, like this, like, because I can't lift my arms apart.
Oh, limp wrist Andy, that's what they call it.
But yeah, so that's been good.
I cut the grass today. It was, again, that nice sweat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that it was like, ah.
Satisfaction.
Yeah, it was like, ah, a bit of manual labor out in the sun.
Yeah.
You know? But I do miss the gym a lot. And they started classes, I think, in Westwood. Because that's what I was holding off for. I was like, I'll wait till they start back up the classes.
Yeah. Well, I would recommend now. Mm. And if anyone is looking to
because
renew or
quite
starting,
frankly, I'm getting a bit of a lowercase B.
Terry.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't noticed it, but I mean, I have never looked so different. My belly is disgusting.
I'm like, how am I going to shift all this fat?
I haven't weighed myself as well. Like, I'm going to be going back to jiu-jitsu soon. I'll check the scales there. I don't have a scales in my house.
Good idea. I weigh myself far too much. I'm like,
Well, now I've cultivated all that mass. Remember we were talking previously about how you get muscle. Now I've done the hard bit. I've eaten like a pig for a year and a half. And I've got one of those bellies now that like sticks out the bottom of my t-shirt. You know what I mean?
I hate it.
And all my clothes are
even
too
when
small.
I'm like standing up straight. I'm like, no, still there.
I'm like, don't look good in a t-shirt anymore.
Right. How about that?
So I'm feeling very positive about it. Right. But anyway, Terry, can I please, for the love of God, 31 minutes into the podcast, talk to you about The Simpsons, please?
Hit me.
More specifically, Terry, can I talk to you about the 10th episode of season 8 of The Simpsons?
Yes.
The Springfield Files, aired January 12th.
Can I hit you with something before you get started?
Go on.
Did you notice in the credits there was different executive producers on this episode?
You know what? I didn't at the time, but...
Oh, in your notes it says... I noticed that.
Then I copped it in the notes.
It's like Al Jean and Mike Rice were the exec producers. Now, I'm sure you have a juicy nugget there for me.
Well,
because then I checked the next episode and it's like Oakley and Weinstein are back at the helm.
Well, the story came from former showrunners, Al Jean and Mike Rice. They returned to produce this episode while under contract with the Walt Disney Company.
They would have been doing Teen Angel at this point.
Of course.
They would have actually been doing Teen
Angel. That's what that is then.
Yeah, because that was on ABC, which is under Disney. Still waiting for it to come on Disney Plus, man.
If it comes on again, I'll give it a go this time.
Oh, so good. Like,
it had one of the longest episode gaps between its conception to the time it was finished. It was first conceived at a story retreat. Al Jean found a copy of TV Guide while in the bathroom with the X-Files on the cover. Feeling a crossover would be a good idea, he came back into the room, told Rice, and the pair pitched it. None of the other staff wanted to do it, so Rice and Jean decided to do it themselves. Jean was worried that the episode was not funny, as at the table reading there were only a few of the writers present, and as such the script got no laughs at all. And it took a long time apparently to come up with an ending and an explanation for the alien. Originally it was going to be just left as a mystery.
I like that they solved it then. Like,
yeah. The scene with the Homer is a dope t-shirt, so originally had an extra line of the guy saying, "I told you we're sold out," when he says, "Give me a t-shirt."
I'm glad they didn't put that in.
I don't know.
Well, when he's like, "I'll take two."
Yeah, I suppose it is better like that.
Yeah, because it just shows what an idiot Homer is. Like,
it had a Nielsen rating of, get this, 11.7. That's equivalent to approximately 11.3 million viewing
households. It's a gimmick, huh? You know, a crummy crossover.
One of those crummy crossover episodes.
Yeah.
Still only the third highest rated show on Fox that week. Care to take a stab at the other two?
I'm going to say Beverly and Melrose. Okay. Is it X-Files? Is the other one?
Yes, X-Files is one of them.
And it's not either of those two.
I'll tell you what it was.
Give me genre.
January 6th, January 6th, 1997, it was the series premiere of this other show. That's what.
Give me a genre.
Animation. I know that's probably not a genre, but...
Animation. Not the
PJs? You like the show better than
King
I
of the Hill?
No. Yeah.
Oh, what a show.
That's all I've got, to be honest, before. Great theme tune.
Some great characters in that show. Like Dale the Roach Killer. Like,
it was very different, I remember. Very different.
I think.
And your man, Mike Judge?
Mike Judge, yeah. The Greg Daniels. He did Beavis and Butthead as well.
Yeah. I think, is it? No, it can't be the same guy. There's a children's book. Did he do children's books now?
Mike Judge?
I think so. I could be completely wrong. But I don't know. Oh, no, I'm thinking Chris Judge. Yeah, that's different. Never mind. I've just come to that realization now after years of thinking.
Why don't we jump into your notes, Andy?
Yeah, great.
You're welcome.
I like the fact that it's sort of framed by this Spock reading.
This is what makes this episode work for me. I came to the realization halfway through that it's not a Simpsons episode.
Yeah,
it is.
This was another little special feature, wasn't it? Like,
and it was like, because again, it was the double episode. It was the second one with. It was a two.
Oh, I forgot you said that. That actually makes so much sense.
It was
now.
Two new episodes. That weekend. Sunday. So I don't know if it was like one was Saturday, one was Sunday, or they were both on the Sunday.
I seem to remember it'd be like 6 and then 6:30.
Yeah, was it? Yeah.
I seem to remember.
But what makes it work is the fact that there's the framing device of Leonard Nimoy reading this story from a book. So like, because it's already secondhand information, you get the for me anyway. I'm like, you get the idea that things are embellished. That's why everything is that bit more outlandish.
Yeah.
You know that. I mean, like the whole thing with Jasper and his pills.
Yeah,
like that's not normal.
Like the fact that it's from a book, you could almost believe that it didn't happen.
Exactly. Like, that's what kind of cracked it for me halfway through the episode. Mm. That I was like, okay, actually this, because. When it cut back to him is kind of what, like, clicked
with
me.
Yeah, when he leaves.
Like, then I was like, oh, yeah, of course. Okay. I was like, okay, you're actually following, like, Leonard Nimoy's story rather than Homer and Bart's, like.
And I like the start where he's like, these stories are true. And by true, I mean false.
It's all lies.
It's all lies. But they're entertaining lies. And after all, isn't that the real truth?
The answer is no.
Is no.
He is so good in this one and the monorail one. He's such a good performer.
I think he was voted just outside the top 10 of IGN's top
guest stars.
Performances for this and the monorail.
This one, the monorail, like, you know, the cosmic ballet. It still goes on. Or like the whole didn't I? Like, it's iconic. But in this one, like. Also, like, when he's reading the book and then when he shows up in the story.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
It's just really good. Like,
Then the next note I have is Homer beautifully describing the movie Speed.
Yeah.
And the fact that he emphasizes it was speed couldn't go over 15 miles an hour. And if he did, it's speed, whatever. It's like, I think it was called
The Bus That Couldn't Slow Down. And like, I love the look of them, like when they're young on the tape.
Like, that's from the 70s. Yeah. Like, they clearly didn't get those jobs in previous episodes, at that period. Yeah. You know, they've all got afros. And
Homer's hair wasn't quite like that when he applied for the job. I did like the whole thing where it's like, It kind of zooms out from that, and it's like, so another Friday's upon us. What'll you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt. You know, light-hearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town. And he's just like, exactly, sir.
Exactly, sir. I love the dynamic whenever Burns, like, addresses Smithers, like, you know, sexuality, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, like, but... It was like, or it's like the one where like Smithers kisses him and when he thinks the world's going to end or something, and then after he's like, I hope you know that was whatever, purely professional. He's like, oh yes, of course. But the way his eyebrow just goes up as he's walking away,
or even that, like, the do what you feel day, and he's like, I love you, sir, in those colors. He's like, oh, the boathouse was the right time. Like,
I love that line.
Just, it's one of the better, like, and there's another one I want to point out later on, but it's one of the better returning gags that they don't,
you know, because they don't go too often.
Yeah, that's what makes it that much better. And it's like, oh yeah, like we've just listed off three, but they're like,
yeah,
at least a series apart. Like, yeah, exactly, one or three series apart, I'd say, from this one. Like, you know, the arcade I liked when it was
Waterworld.
Before that, even, where it was sorry, donkey. He's like, you're just not a draw anymore. And then, like, the like, again, like, very cartoony.
Very cartoony. Yeah. This,
but
episode.
I liked
this one,
it. I have to say,
I accept it more in this one because it can kind of not.
And
be real.
How good does it look in comparison? If you're putting the two of them back to back, like, and you can say in the space of an hour, like, the animation in this one is
completely different.
Beautiful in comparison.
Yeah.
It looks
so good. It's kind of like those old Tom and Jerry's where you've got the classic Tom and Jerry and then you've got, like, the different animators Tom and Jerry, and that's just looks a bit off. Or worse still, the Tom that doesn't even speak, that's a proper actual cat.
My favorite Tom is the Tom that doesn't speak, but speaks with his eyes. If you know what I mean. That is, like, you know, he's gurning or he's making. As opposed to, like you say, the Tom that's an actual cat that's just like. Like,
not a fan of that. But the
self-aware like, Tom, like, where he's like, you know, you're playing a piano or, you know, something like that. Like,
yeah.
Like, he'd be doing his schemes. Like, as opposed to, as they went further on, where they had him actually speak.
I love the speaking stuff, though, as well. Oh, yeah, where he's like, when he's doing the song.
Yeah, but and, like,
it's like, I love you. You set my soul on fire. You know, where he's talking to your one.
I don't know,
like,
maybe
when
it's
he
just
brings his cat friends in, and they're all, like, talking. It's like, hey, Tom. You know, they're all, like, old-style gangsters.
Yeah, they're all, like,
love all those
top cats mates, you know, essentially like Sergeant Bilko.
But it's all good. But that's what I got.
I think maybe it's just in my head. I'm thinking of the movie. You know what I mean? The Tom and Jerry movie where they spoke, and I hated it. Like,
oh, I hate that. Yeah. I mean, I hate anything.
I wish you could get that on demand, Tom and Jerry. Like,
there's a lot of stuff on YouTube
I'm sure. But, like, I'd like to be able to just, like, with Warner Brothers, I'd love to be able to get, like, some of the old Looney Tunes. Because you can get some of the Disney ones on Disney Plus, like some of the old Donald Duck.
That's what I was going to say, yeah, like the classics. I think Prime has, like, a cartoon classics.
All right, okay.
Thing. I don't know what's on it.
I put some Donald Duck classic ones with Chip and Dale.
Oh, yeah.
But even, like, the little thing where it's, like, Donald Duck's face, like, who's got the sweetest disposition? One guess, that's who. It's like,
what an arsehole.
It's like, the song makes him out to be, like, so nice, you know, like, no one,
like,
he's Donald Duck, and then, like, he's just a dickhead.
He makes their life miserable.
I always remember there was one that it was like, he's listening to the radio, and it's like, when self-control should be your goal, laugh and count to 10, and, you know, the whole thing with him is he loses his temper. He's like, 1, 2. And then by the end, of course, he just blows his top. Like,
I think I actually watched that one recently.
It's great. Like, good stuff. Classic cartoons. What are we doing reviewing this stuff?
We should be doing this.
The quarter, the 40 quarter is like, I was like, oh, is this how Waterworld made its budget back? Like,
like, what? But, like, was Waterworld as bad?
It was a huge flop.
I know it was a flop, but, like, was it, looking back, was it actually bad?
The movie?
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Was it? Yeah. I remember seeing it and kind of liking it when I was like 11.
Well, maybe it's just me. It came on recently. I can't remember when, but it was like, I was like, what is this garbage? Like, it's just
trash.
It's, how would you say it? It's that Hollywood blockbuster of, like, but we can do anything. We know what we think. We know what audiences are gonna like.
Yeah,
and it's like it's just not like it's not interesting.
It's empty, like
no, because there is stuff there that they're you know they're talking about climate stuff or whatever, and you're like, okay, yeah. Great, but like also like it's just not interesting. Like, I don't care about Kevin Costner doing this and the little girl.
I like Kevin Costner.
No, I don't like him. I'll tell you that. Like,
yeah, like I don't know why exactly. But
fucking Dances with Wolves beat Goodfellas for best picture, so he's on my shit list.
My next note is just needs more dog.
Yeah,
that's when Homer is looking for something new.
Red Mo's. Tick beer.
Yeah, I don't know why the accent makes it funnier. The New York accent needs more dog.
I did like just before that where it was like Marge cleaning up the house, like bad dog, bad cat, like, bad fawn, and it was real cute. I thought Lisa and Bart with their cookies and milk in front of the TV.
Yeah,
like, all right, that. Time for ABC's TGIF. It's just another day between NBC's Must See Thursday and CBS's Saturday Night Craporama.
When it had, after Homer takes the breathalyzer, you can't drive home.
Yeah.
And like, I love the little gags on his walk home where it's like, you have like the Philharmonic bus. And the diet gag was excellent. Excellent. Excellent visual gags, I must say.
I loved it when it's like somebody comes out of the woods. It's like, oh, son, I'm glad to see you. I went for the morning paper and I got lost. And he's like, out of my way, old man. Like, his dad. Like.
Now, at the next bit, I don't know what I was talking about here. I just had, is this the Simpsons jumping the shark? Maybe that's what it was, yeah.
Like that's.
I can't remember the bit.
It's like he sees.
It must have been that. Yeah. Oh, so that's coming up next. Yeah. Then, yeah.
This is what comes. He's like, he sees Mr. Burns, or he sees the alien, and he's like, yeah, and he's like running through the field, you know, spelling out yeah, and then like an exclamation point and jumps out. And I kind of talked about it last week, being like, you know, this is another weird, like
worrying.
Yeah, it's another kind of thing where you're like. Okay, you're kind of, again, like, say you had two hands on it. I feel like we have one hand and four fingers on the wheel now. Like, you know, you feel like you're almost losing a finger every week we're watching here. That it's like, they've had two hands on the wheel for a while, and now it's like...
firmly gripped. Now the grip is loosening
a little bit. Like,
apparently that joke was written by David M. Stern and added in after the original read-through, so...
Yeah,
I guess they were worried. Didn't have the laughs. Didn't need it, mate. Next, I have
Homer coming home. I thought was good. Sorry to just being like, she's like, it's 2 a.m. and Homer's like, he's like, I seen this earlier. And she's like, have you been drinking? He's like, no. Well, 10 beers.
I have to say, like, I remember, like, I had that line written down as well, but after that, I remember being a kid, like feeling what a big deal this crossover was.
It was a big event, like
Tony. Like, I don't know if you watched X Files. Tony was the X Files fan in our house.
Never watched
it. I was forced to sit through some of it, but
it was just big fucking show though. Like, huge. And like, was it on Sky over here? I remember being on BBC.
I think it was.
As well, though, I think.
I think it was Sky, yeah.
I never got into it. And it's something that's a bit of a blind spot for me, but I'm also not arsed, I guess.
Yeah.
I still have to watch Twin Peaks, and I'd much rather go to Twin Peaks than I would The X-Files, you know?
I haven't seen that either, to be honest.
Mm. Could be a good one for you, though.
But weird, isn't it?
Yeah, but... weird is good, man.
Weird is good. Now, again, I'm definitely jumping ahead here, but my next note was Homer on the lie detector when Scully's like, do you understand? I'm going to ask you some questions. Do you understand? Yes.
You've skipped.
But I've skipped a
loads.
Ton.
Homer telling the family is what I want to talk about next.
I can't believe it. I'm being mocked by my own children on my birthday.
It's your birthday?
Yes. Remember, it's the same day as the dogs.
Santa's little helper, it's your birthday? Ooh, we gotta get you a present. Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
We love you, boy. Good doggy. Good doggy.
Lousy, lovable dog.
Oh, we gotta get you a present.
Like, I was just like, lousy, lovable dog.
That's brilliant.
And then, like, when they're, you know, Homer goes to the police station and he's like,
yeah,
well, your story is very compelling, Mr. Jackass. I mean, Simpson. I'll just type it up my invisible typewriter. The little, like, humming he does to himself.
Yeah.
Homer.
And the fact that, like, yeah,
Homer being like, you don't have to humiliate me. And then the guy coming in being like, I just torched the building downtown. I'm afraid I'll do it again.
Like lighting a lighter.
Yeah, exactly. And he's covered in, like, what looks like, you know, fuel-soaked clothes. Yeah. Like.
And again, Wiggum, just like everyone who comes in. And I like the fact that after he's like, I'll just type it up. Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, fruitcake. what a jerk.
So then, yeah, you get Mulder and Scully coming in.
Great to have them in there, to be honest. My only issue with Mulder and Scully in this is that, like, they were used really prominently for, like, 7 minutes.
Yeah.
And then they weren't in it at all for, like, the last 7 or 8. I don't think
you can do the episode around them, though. They have to come and go.
Right,
I think they have to, because it's still a Simpsons episode, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, they're not really involved in any plot lines, no. I suppose.
And it's just, but it's just a good kind of, I actually quite like how they come there and they just get so annoyed, they're just like, see ya. Yeah. We're gone, like. But I do love when she knocks at the door, or they knock at the door. First of all, I love David Duchovny being like, FBI.
And it's like, his underwear.
Yeah, I love it. Every time it got me.
Yeah.
But like, Marge being like, is this about the pen from the post office? I didn't know it was in my purse, and I went to bring it back. The dog chewed it up.
I just love the idea that this is, has been eating Marge up, and she's finally, she's like, the feds are here. Like, she's finally thinking
it's a real, like, it's almost happening. Flanders-esque moment. Yeah, for her, like,
definitely. Yeah, they could have just as easily knocked on Flanders' door and then, like, oh, next door.
I like that it was Marge.
Yeah,
I have to say.
I like more Marge the better.
You get a bit of, yeah. Who thought we'd be saying that when we started this podcast?
I know. Complete 180.
When Mulder and Scully do the lineup, I liked that. You know, you had Kang and Kodos and Marvin the Martian, who was always a favorite of mine. On the old Warner Brothers.
I wanted to like him more because I liked his animation, but I never.
He looks great.
Yeah, he looks fantastic.
I love his voice. This makes me very angry.
Very angry.
And you also had Alf there as well, I think.
Yeah. There you go, our pal.
Yeah.
Then
you get your lie detector.
Now we're going to run a few tests. This is a simple lie detector. I'll ask you a few yes or no questions, and you just answer truthfully. Do you understand?
Yes.
Even just that is just is hilarious.
Just the sound, like, you're like, yes, and it's like, poof, like, straight so away. Loud. Yeah, like, it's such a big explosion for what it is, like.
And then, like, she has him on the treadmill. I just love that line. It's like, I just thought he could stand to lose lose some weight.
It's like, his jiggling is almost hypnotic.
Yes, it's like a lava lamp. I think of that all the time.
It's like, are they just stuck there until, like, he stops running? Like,
and then, like, they take Homer out, or Homer is in the bar with them. Very inappropriate.
I love this bit where
he's like, "You are one fine looking lady."
One fine looking woman, lady. If I wasn't married, I'd go out with you like that. I am so sorry. Whatever you do, don't tell Marge. God, I love her. Hey, a penny.
So, who are you guys, anyhow?
Agents Mulder and Scully, FBI.
FBI, huh? Excuse me. All right, they're on to us. Get them back to SeaWorld.
I love what, like, Mulder is doing just beside him. Like, Mulder has a beer, and then he's just, like, kind of looking away and, like, scratching. Like, then he's, like, eating some peanuts. Like, he's just kind of checked out, like, and when Homer is doing this thing with Scully, like...
And then straight away he's like, oh God, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. But the thing I wanted to talk about was the other running gag was Mo of like his illegal shit that he does be up to. He's like, the FBI.
He's always
excuse me.
He's always got some shady shit going on.
Like, all right, get him out of here. They're on to us. Like before it was... oh no, it's not before. It's coming up when they go to the submarine. It's like just like the deer hunter. He's like, oh, the deer hunter. He's like, oh, that reminds me. He's like, it's like in the back. I think it's like Skinner and I don't know who the other one is. They're playing Russian.
I think it's just like a Korean guy who's not normally in it, isn't it?
Is it the two of them? Yeah, and then he's like, okay, I'm shutting it down, fellas. Like,
yeah.
Or like he had like the pandas in there as well. But like, yeah. I like that it's not, you know, every week.
Yeah, it's just sometimes he's got this going on. Plus it's like the aggression that only Mo can deliver. Where he's like, get him out of here. Get him out of here. Like,
so when they go back to the site of like where Homer found the alien... Again, I know that they did the joke at the start of the episode, but Grandpa reemerging again. Like,
again.
For the love of God, help me. I've been here 4 days and that turtle's got my teeth. he's like, the slow come chase. Back here, you. He's like, he bit me with my own teeth.
Poor Grandpa.
That was great. And like the look of the turtle being like,
and you get Mo again, like just carrying that big whale, like, jeez, at the fence. Yeah.
It's a bit of a weird, because it's during the daytime, and then it's like, are we supposed to believe that Mulder is talking so long that it's like, it goes to nighttime?
Daytime, and then within 5 seconds, it's nighttime.
Yeah. Yeah, it says it here in the script, it's like, it's nighttime now, and everyone's left Mulder alone in the park. So I guess he's still, the voodoo priest of
Haiti. I felt like they could have given him like an extra 10 seconds or something to really...
It was just the transition was really weird.
Yeah, it was like that. Like it was too quick.
Yeah.
My next note here was just the when Homer is in bed with Marge.
Yeah.
And like when she's just like, you're only hearing what you want to hear. He's like, sure, I'd love an audio.
He's like, I don't believe you, Homer. He's like, oh, you do. That makes me so happy. You're not listening. You're only hearing what you want to hear.
And then they have this whole like argument.
The line though, where he's like, "I can't. This is my cause." I'm like the man who single-handedly built the rocket ship and went to the moon. What was his name? Apollo Creed.
And then she's like, "Good night." And he's like, "Unless you're feeling amorous, I'm not." Well then, good night.
And then it's Bart and Homer are gonna go back. On the Friday night.
I have to say, that I don't know if this is on the Friday night, but again, I laughed at the time, but the Budweiser Coors joke.
Yeah.
So bad. But like, again, I laughed when I was like 11. So who's right here?
What they're doing there is they're latching on to something in the zeitgeist, you know, and I'll, air quote.
This is the episode. This is the episode to do it in.
Yeah, exactly. Full
pop culture grab.
Exactly. And at the time, the Budweiser frogs were like, "Oh, they're deadly, aren't they?" Like,
we're huge. Yeah. I remember. Yeah, and I remember thinking that was so funny.
It's because that doesn't hold up. That the joke doesn't hold up. I think that because that beloved TV ad actually, when you look at it now, it's like it's stupid, it's shite. Like because that doesn't hold up, the joke doesn't hold up. That would be the way I look at it.
Yeah, I would be inclined to agree with that. That sounds right.
You got it, boss.
And then you get the whole thing where Bart captures the thing on camera and Homer's like, "We did it!"
I love it. Like, we did it. And it's just like it goes to like the freeze page. It's like, and so from this simple man came the proof that we are not alone in the universe. I'm Leonard Nimoy. Good night.
Mr. Nimoy, we have 10 minutes left.
Fine. Let me just get something out of my car. And this is,
I don't think he's coming back.
I know, it's one they haven't used in a while, but the sound that are like,
I love that.
You know, like,
there's, I still laugh. I laugh pretty much every time that sound effect is used.
They use it so well. Like, the idea, like, remember the crusty one where it was like, the bathroom? It's like, sure. Oh, yeah. It's like, you hear the car and then you hear a plane. He's like, when he's done in there, I gotta go.
I forgot about the plane.
Yeah. It's like that quick. It's like a car, then a plane. Like, I did really like Brockman here, where, yeah, it really is. Where Brockman was like, E.T. phone Homer. Simpson, that are like, it's a close encounter of the blurred kind, like really top notch shit local news anchor stuff there. Yeah. Like, you know,
and again, the fact that he's the one being unprofessional, where he's like,
yeah,
the entire Channel 6 team will be there except Phil, the boom operator, who is getting fired tomorrow. Very unprofessional.
Yeah, the way he says unprofessional, unprofessional, Phil,
like he's the one being incredibly unprofessional.
So then they all kind of show up, the town show up asking questions.
You've got Leonard Nimoy is in the story somehow now.
Well, he's not there yet, is he? Oh yeah, it's when they show up asking at Homer's door, asking questions.
Oh yeah,
and he's like, is the alien carbon based or silicone based?
Silicon.
Like, oh, no, what was it? The second one, xylophone. Next question, and Barney's like, "Is the alien Santa Claus?"
Yeah.
Were you on my roof last night stealing my weather vane?
This interview is over.
Yeah, I love a good. This interview is over. No, it's over, Phil.
The fact that Flanders again just being so nice about it, like,
you know, he's got a mean streak. That's why, if I was Homer, I'd be closing that door straight away as well. He did threaten to run everybody down with his car. Like,
he did, actually, yeah. We haven't really seen him since then.
Yeah.
I just love the line when they... So you have the whole
Nimoy is, yeah,
thing at the side. Nimoy is there. He's selling. They're selling. I always thought Homer is a dope was a weird one to go with.
It's a weird usage of that word.
Yeah, like, because I remember thinking it weird because we say
in
Ireland,
dope all the time.
Like, he is a dope. Like, that's, yeah, but it was weird to hear that in an American setting, I remember.
Yeah, I mean, idiot or something you would think would be.
Yeah.
Like,
Homer is a dope just seems very, like.
Maybe it's because we use it so much and you don't hear it on TV at all.
Yeah. Like, you don't, know? Yeah.
Or if they do, it's like, you out. Dope?
Yeah.
I did like with Nimoy where he's like, wherever there is mystery and the unexplained, cosmic forces draw me near. It's like, hey Spark, what do you want in your hot dog?
Surprise me.
It's like
so uninterested, like,
what is that? Like, is it lettuce? I don't know. Like,
and then when the thing shows up, I just love that. I love a good mob mentality in Springfield. Yeah. But it's just that whole...
The fact that it's Lenny and Carl.
Yeah. Like, you would think, like, two legs. Upstanding citizens. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's bringing peace, don't let it get away.
You would think that would be Moe's line or something. And then the fact that it's Willie, then it's like, it's a monster, kill it, kill it.
Now, I have
it's
to
Mr.
say...
Mr. Burns. Kill it!
Now... That joke I remember thinking was a lot funnier as a kid, the Willy one.
Yeah, but it's a good, maybe you don't need the second one, but it's another good, like, display of the mob mentality.
Yeah,
maybe it's true. Because it's Willy though that it's
some odd character choices for the line delivery.
I did like actually what kind of rubbed me well, I thought, was like when it was like Hibbert. He's like, I bring you love. He's like, Is that the love between a man and a woman, or the love of a man and a fine Cuban cigar? It's like, this guy's just like, you know.
Show me 24 hours of Hibbert. Dr. Hibbert.
Yeah, like, definitely.
Hello, what's Dr. Hibbert.
That's what I want to see. That's what I want to see.
Terry again?
Sa-a. I want to see Sa-a.
Would you like to play a game, Dr. Hibbert?
Terry? I found that the green glow explanation was a bit weak.
Like, yeah.
Because you get Burns' whole story, and it's like Grandy does all these, like, chiropractic
tongue scraping. It's funny. It's good animation. Is that like when they're like, yeah, they give him the booster, like, like the neck going up.
But the whole thing is like, how do you explain the green glow? It's like, a lifetime of working with whatever has given me a healthy green glow. Like, oh, okay. Never seen that before.
Homer
okay.
have that? No, like,
yeah,
nobody else. But I did like when he's like, now that I'm back to normal, I don't bring you peace and love. I bring you fear, famine, pestilence, and it's like, time for a booster. Like, good morning, starshine. And
the earth says hello.
You twinkle above us.
I like, as soon as he gets the booster, the song starts, like, time for a booster. Good morning. Like, it's straight away.
And then, like, it's like, shubber, shubber, wabba, like, for some reason, like, this shows you where the show is at, that it's like, it's Chewbacca joining in with Mulder and Scully, this whole, like I've noted that it's like 3 or 4 episodes this year have ended with, like, a big crowd sing-along.
Yeah.
No explanation. Like, this ending is very similar to last week's ending.
Yeah, you know, like, a few of them. It's almost like the Ned, you so crazy. It's just some sort of, like, it's a non-ending.
Yeah, I mean, the one that worked for me, anyway, because the episode was so good, was the Larry Burns one.
Yeah.
Because he's a big parody animal, and it just was kind of fitting. This one...
And it's weird that it's like Al Jean and Mike Rice, who are, like... the season 3 and 4, the holy grail to diehard Simpson fans like ourselves. Sorry,
that's us.
That like this is a far cry from a season 3 or 4 premise. You know what I mean? Chewbacca's singing with Mulder and Scully, Mr. Burns. I will admit alien.
That gave me a chuckle. But like, if you're critically analyzing it, you're like, what is this? What's going on? Like, you know.
And well, should we critically analyze?
Well, it? What I want to say is the fact that it wraps up with the kid reading the book.
Oh, yeah.
Is the next thing. It was like, what does he say?
Yeah, I forgot that.
The whole, like, until next time. Oh, yeah, the fact he's like, this concludes our tale. I'm Leonard Nimoy. Keep watching the skies. Oh, skies.
Skies.
yeah, I mean, that is the only saving grace for it, I think.
It definitely helps it. I'll say that. Definitely helps it.
Should we get into the old ratings?
Please, Terry.
We want you to tell us what you think and be honest, because no one from the show is here spying on you.
Let me ask you something, pal. What do you think of it?
I liked it. Weirdly, in spite of, like, it's kind of similar to last week.
Yes.
But I'm not as... Last week, they seemed like they were going for something, okay? Like, they were going for some sort of mystical, you know, the way, like...
Yeah,
they had this is a cash grab, okay? Yeah. Like, plain and simple. Like, this is, like, we're going to a ratings bonanza. And it worked for them, like, you know?
It did. 11.3.
Mm. But at the same time, it's not a... great episode, but I think the fact that, like, if you can take it on the fact that it is what it is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is this artifact of, like, well, we're doing a special crossover episode.
Yeah,
it's like when you're
time capsule in 1997,
exactly. And it's like what you were saying, you watch the Simpsons and Family Guy thing,
yeah,
and you were like, you know what, I didn't hate it as much because your expectations,
yeah, true,
and you're looking at this, like, high. I don't know, maybe we should judge it a bit harsher because it's in the height of its run.
Yeah.
I found myself enjoying it, but like still having like a few bits of bad taste in my mouth, I guess, is the best way I could put it. Like, you know,
that's a pretty good way of describing it.
It was kind of like harmless, but I was also like, don't like that, you know.
There was far too many don't like that's for me, even though there was still big laughs, bigger laughs, you know, than other ones even.
I'm gonna give.
But yeah.
My rating is going to be 8.1.
Okay.
So, like, there was enough funny stuff. And, like, there's enough creative stuff going on in it that I was, you know, I wasn't turned off. Like.
Yeah.
For
I had enough going on.
Yeah, for what it is, had enough to, like, I've rated it higher than last week's one. And I think.
Just about.
If last week's one could have pulled off what it was going for and wasn't so fucking weird, like yeah. weird looking, weird tonally, like last week's one had more ambition, I guess. It just didn't pull it off for me. This one has very little ambition.
It's but just it was, look who we got.
But it was more comforting to me. It looked better. Some of the jokes were much better, you know.
Yeah.
Like Leonard Nimoy is my MVP.
Oh, nice.
Because I just thought, every time he was saying something, I was laughing, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
he was great.
And he's always great. He always, you know, shows up to play, I guess.
He knocks it
but
out.
But it's a far cry from, you know, we've been, the heights of this season, like, you know?
I'll be honest, like I found myself laughing throughout, but by the end, I thought, that was kind of shy. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a good episode. It was funny, but it wasn't a good episode. It's weird, like, and I don't know if I'm being too harsh. Maybe on a different day I'd be like, oh, it was fun, you know, like, it's, but today my thinking is as a Simpsons, dare I say, purist, which I am not, it seems like I haven't been watching The Simpsons the last couple of weeks. It's like this is something else. This is, but their attention is elsewhere to make other people impressed.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, what we've got next episode is what?
What's the next one?
Pretzel Wagon one is the next episode. So that one you would think seems, it's a bit of a high concept episode, but it's more of a, you know, regular adventure as opposed to these experimental things that you're doing. It's not Sweeps, because Sweeps is later on in the year. Like, that's January and December.
Sweeps
is like the big ratings time.
Ah,
so that's what I was thinking. It might have been like.
Well, I mean, you've got coming up some really good ones. You've got the pretzel one. Then after that is the Mountain of Madness.
Yeah, hell yeah.
You've got Frenzy. A few ones later, you've got Homer's Phobia, you know, the that'll be
interesting.
So there's some good stuff in the series. I just felt like the last, like, because we weren't mad on Lisa's date with Density. Hurricane Nettie was good. And then the Mysterious Voyage of Homer we didn't like. And this one I didn't love.
What was before Hurricane Nettie? Was it the
Lisa's date with Density?
Oh, what was before that one then? Was it
Millhouse Divided?
And that was good. And before that was the
Bar After Dark.
Yeah, which wasn't great. Like, and Larry Burns was before that one, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah,
like,
so,
like,
the boxing
it's been very up score. And down.
Very up and down, I have to say. My scores have been, both our scores actually have been very, very up and down, as you say.
What's your
rating is, you know what? I had also marked it down as an 8.1. We very rarely match scores, but I'm going to also match. Mm. I mean, again, 8.1 out of 10. Like,
I think we're also being generous here. Let's call a spade true, a spade. Yeah. Like. But again, it's better than most things you'd watch on TV.
Yeah, exactly. Like, my MVP, I would give it to, I don't know. I'm going to say, it's got to be Homer, really.
Yeah, I mean, it had to be Homer or Leonard Nimoy, or maybe Mulder. Yeah. You know, like
Mulder was actually good.
Pretty good. Like the company was a good performance. Yeah. Like.
Yeah. I'm glad to see the back of those two, to be honest with you now.
Here's hoping now we're all over the hump and we're on to a good run. Should we get our plugs in?
Please. Where can they find us, Terry?
Why don't you tell me?
I'll tell you where they can find us. On Twitter, I put it in H Podcast. On Instagram, I put it in H Podcast. You will find links to everything we do on Instagram, including our latest episode, our Patreon, our What's So Great About Marvel series, merchandise, all the other stuff.
Did you say email us. Patreon?
Yes, I did, Terry, but let me just finish by saying you can email us at putitinhpod@gmail.com.
You done?
Yes.
Well, I want to talk to you about the Patreon, Andy.
Oh, please.
For the low fee of $5 a month, €4.50, and we don't know what it is in sterling.
We don't want to know.
You can get access to our bevy. That's right. A bevy of extra content, the dreaded content. You get 4 episodes extra a month. You get 2 of our sister podcast, What's So Great About, and you get 2 other bono episodes. We did one last week on our top 5 needle drops in movies. I've already addressed the controversy behind that. We've done our top 5 track 1 side ones. We've done stuff on our top 5 Beatles. We've done loads of other music ones. Other, like, Pitch It in H.
I think there's about another... There's
so much stuff behind that, like, paywall. Like,
there's like 25 episodes of everything, every MCU, every Marvel thing. We've got a bunch of 90s action. We've also got, I think, about 30 bonus, like, madcap episodes.
Yeah, the jazz of sets.
Of just whatever else. No Simpsons content on there. I'll say that now. But
if you like voices, us, and we are going to do. I think next week we're going to do Bo Burnham inside as our Patreon episode.
Yes, because we do have.
It's in the zeitgeist.
I should say to Thomas, who very kindly provided some whiskey for our whiskey tasting. Terry forgot to bring it in with him to the studio last week.
Oh, you're
going
to hang me out to dry. So, going to do me like that now.
So we're going to have to push it back a couple of weeks if Terry doesn't drink it.
I have it sitting here ready to be tasted. Excellent. We'll put it that way.
So that's coming up the next time we're in. Well,
next time we see each other.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll remind bring them. It. But if you can't afford the $5, €4.50, don't know what it is in sterling per month.
Don't want to.
You know what you can do for me? You can give me.
What can they do?
A rating or a review. Now, Andy, Homer drank 10 red tick beers this episode. I only want 5 yellow stars as a review. Rating, whatever you want to call it. Really helps get the old podcast highlighted, gets us in the charts, put some more earbuds, listening to our lovely, lovely voices, as you can...
Our dulcet tones.
There you go. I don't want to use that word because I don't know...
I'm not confident in the pronunciation.
So I'm staying away. I took
a chance. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Andy. I joked. So if you could do that, you know, or, you know, tell a friend. How about that?
How about that, huh?
Tag us on social media, you know. Always, please always do. Always goes far. So if you've made it this far, I just want to say a big thank you for listening.
I love you.
And I like you. Now, if you
together we are.
If you were
wild star.
If you were a Players Club member, you might get the big LOVE.
Well, it's right there on the tier list. Yeah. You get exclusive access to our hearts. That's one of the benefits. So
that's it.
on that bombshell.
Yeah, we will see you next week for the twisted world of Marge Simpson.
And to show you we're serious,
you have
a back in one day.
That's good. You have 3.5 days.
Damn it, that's what I should have said.
Welcome to the internet. Have a look around. Anything that brain of yours can think of can be found. We've got mountains of content, some better, some worse. If none of it's of interest to you, you'd be the first. Welcome to the internet, come and take a seat. Would you like to see the news or any famous women's feet? There's no need to panic, this isn't a test. Just nod or shake your head and we'll do the rest. Welcome to the internet, what would you prefer? Would you like to fight for civil rights or tweet a racial slur? Be happy, be horny, be bursting with rage. We got a million different ways to engage. Welcome to the internet, put your cares aside. Here's a tip for straining pasta, here's a 9-year-old who died. We got movies and doctors and fantasy sports and a bunch of colored pencil drawings of all the different characters in Harry Potter fucking each other. Welcome to the internet. Hold on to your socks, cause a random guy just kindly sent you photos of his cock. They are grainy and off-putting, he just sent you more. Don't act surprised, you know you like it, you whore. See a man beheaded, get offended, see a shrink. Show us pictures of your children, tell us every thought you think. Start a rumor, buy a broomer, send a death threat to a boomer, or DM a girl and groomer, do a zoomer, find a tumor in your. Here's a healthy breakfast option, you should kill your mom. Here's why women never fuck you, here's how you can build a bomb. Which Power Ranger are you? Take this quirky quiz. Obama sent the immigrants to vaccinate your kids. Could I interest you in everything, all of the time? A little bit of everything, all of the time. Apathy's a tragedy and boredom is a crime. Anything and everything, all of the time. Could I interest you in everything, all of the time? A little bit of everything, all of the time. Apathy's a tragedy and boredom is a crime. Anything and everything, all of the time. You know, it wasn't always like this. Not very long ago, just before your time, right before the towers fell, circa 99, this was catalogs, travel blogs, a chat room or two. We set our sights and spent our nights waiting for you, you, insatiable you. Mommy let you use her iPad, you were barely two, and it did all the things we designed it to do. Now look at you. Oh. Look at you. 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 Unstoppable. Watchable. Your time is now. Your insides out. Honey, how you grew. And if we stick together, who knows what we'll do. It was always the plan to put the world in your hand. Could I interest you in everything all of the time? A bit of everything all of the time. Apathy's a tragedy and boredom is a crime. Anything and everything all of the time. Could I interest you in everything all of the time? A little bit of everything all of the time. Apathy's a tragedy and boredom is a crime. Anything and everything and anything and everything and anything and everything and all of the time.